We're on page, what page are we on in your book? 70? 70, page 70. All right, page 70. All right, we'll discuss a little bit of this. We wrote down all the kings of Judah and Israel last week and the times that they reigned. And we wrote down the tribes and which went with whom. That was all last week. Now, if you need that CD, I have it. Okay, so if you want to go back over that, I've got some CDs for those. All right, on page 70. And mine is on page 71. See, my book is not like yours. I probably should have got one of yours, but mine's already all marked up. See, it's really marked up, as you can see. All right, we had a word of prayer. We asked our God's blessing upon our class. And pray for our neighbor out there, Vic Traylor, and the little boy that came to the class the other day. I want you to remember him in your prayers. All right. Number 26. We're going to go through this. Number 26 on page 70. During the sixth year of Hosea's reign, Israel was attacked by Assyrian armies. After 3 years, she fell and was taken into Assyrian captivity. All right? That's Israel now. Israel. That's the northern kingdom. During the reign of Zedekiah, the king of Babylon laid siege to Jerusalem. And after a year of battle, Judah fell and was carried into Babylonian captivity. In 2 Maccabees, the second chapter, it tells you about that. What else does it say in 2 Maccabees, the second chapter? This is a test. What else does it say there?
Don't they like the ones that take care of old traditions?
Maccabees is a history.
What was that question again?
All right. What else is found besides during the reign of Zedekiah, the king of Babylon laid siege to Jerusalem. After a year of battle, Judah fell and was carried into Babylonian captivity. And who was the prophet? A weeping prophet. Jeremiah.
Who?
Jeremiah.
Jeremiah.
And Jeremiah, it says in 2 Maccabees, the second chapter, said he was warned of God. He took the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant and took it on the mountain where Moses saw the promised land. And hid it in a cave there until the end times. All right? So that's where the Ark of the Covenant is. They've got all kinds of theories of where the Ark of the Covenant is. But I'm going to tell you about 2 Maccabees. 1 and 2 Maccabees are real histories. They are documented, factual histories. The Jews always accepted them as historically correct. So if it's historically correct, where is the Ark of the Covenant? Still over there in Jordan, where the Lord, Mount Pisgah, where the Lord showed Moses the promised land.
You know, Jim, I've read articles that the Jews know exactly where it's at, but they're not under covenant for the right time.
It says there in 2 Maccabees that they will not know where it is until the time comes.
That's
and then God will reveal it to them.
I thought they
well, that you hear, there is so much speculation going on right now with Chuck Missler and all this stuff, with the end times right now and all this baloney. It's all fabrication, people. It's real, real. It is exciting and all this kind of stuff, but it is speculation. I don't speculate much, as you probably know.
Well, they found that they probably worshipped it.
If they did. But we know, according to that, Jeremiah was warned of God. He took the thing there and it will not be found until the end times. But there's all kinds of things going on now today, every day. Prophetic things were fulfilled this week. All of this, you know. I mean, Chuck Missler sends out the things, and it sounds exciting, but it's pure speculation. I'd rather stand with a solid word, the solid word. Just stand right there on what we know. We know one thing. It's going to get worse. It's not going to get better. Isn't it? The church is going to get worse. It's not going to get better. The Bible says that. And all these people, there are all kinds of advertisements from all kinds of guns, God, and gold. That's one of the advertisements. This is it. Guns, God, and gold. That's what the big deal is. According to the book of Revelation, the Bible, the last book in the Bible, how much is gold going to be worth in the end times? Nothing. It's not going to do you any good at all. Period. You won't be able to buy or sell anything with gold or silver. So you put all your money in gold and silver because you think you're going to make it. Inflation and everything. The United States government, in one swoop of one pen, can make gold $30 an ounce. And call it all in. Did it happen before? Yes, it did. And it's going to happen again. I can guarantee it. Because the book of Revelation says it is. I believe that book. I taught it a lot of time. I wrote my doctor's thesis on the book of Revelation. And there's things in there. I mean, the whole deal today, God, guns, and gold. They ought to read the Bible. Guns aren't going to do you any good therein either. They'll take all them away from you anyway. It's all coming.
You can't fight the government anyway.
No, you're not going to fight it. It's not going to happen. There's no hiding places. They've got every hiding place on this earth with GPS and everything mapped out. There's only going to be one hiding place. Where's that? God's going to protect Israel on that one. That's down in Petra. All of this. Okay, now we've jumped ahead a little bit. But I just thought I'd tell you this. There's too much speculation going on today. Too much speculation. World's going to get real bad, people. That's just the way it's going to be. Number 28. Which prophet returned with a great many Jews and reestablished the ancient Hebrew worship? Ezra. All right. Now, on number 27 in your syllabus now, number 26, it should say during the sixth year of Hosea's reign, Israel was attacked by the Assyrian armies after 3 years, right in three there. 3 years she fell and was taken to Assyrian captivity. And during the reign of Zedekiah, number 27, the king of Babylon laid siege on Jerusalem. And after a year of battle, Judah fell and was carried into Babylonian captivity. 2 Maccabees, the second chapter, tells you about that. All right? And number 28, which prophet returned with a great many Jews and reestablished the ancient Hebrew worship? Ezra. Okay? And then, number 29, under which king of Persia was the temple restored? All right? And that's Darius the Mede. All right? Darius. Well, Cyrus also, but remember, Darius. Okay? The city walls, number 30, the city walls and civil government was restored under Nehemiah, and that's where we're going to stop for right now, right there. Now we're going to go back to the Bible and get caught up. Okay? We got it. You caught up in your syllabus now. We got a little bit of background there, and now let's go back to the Bible. Back to the Bible. Remember the Back to the Bible program? This is Back to the Bible. The 16th chapter of 1 Kings. All right, 16th chapter of 1 Kings. All right, we have Jehu, the son of Hanani. Jehu, what does Jehu mean? Jehu, remember he was a prophet, wasn't he? Remember Jehu, the prophet? Mm-hmm. His name, Jehovah Is, or Jehovah Is He. That's what Jehu means. All right. Son of Hanani, and that Hanani means gracious. All right. And then he talks about here of the prophecy that he made. All right. Inasmuch as I exalted you from the dust and made you leader over my people Israel, you have walked in the way of Jeroboam and have made my people Israel sin and provoked me to anger with their sins. Behold, I will consume Baasha and his house, and I will make your house like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat. All right? We already, in other words, he's going to destroy that house. Now we find out later on, in verse number 7, and moreover, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Jehu, the son of Hanani, who also came against Baasha and his household, both because of the evil which he had done in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger with the work of his hands. They were making idols and idol places to worship, being like the house of Jeroboam, because he struck it. And the 26th year reign of Asa, remember Asa? Who was, remember, good King Asa? Remember good King Asa? Asa is the king of Judah right now. All right? Asa means what?
Asa means...
What did Asa do? Remember what Asa did? What did he do to his lesbian grandma?
Kill her.
Huh?
Kill
her. He shut her house of lesbian prostitution down. Got rid of her. Put her out. All right? Asa cleaned house. He healed the land. Now, just think about this now. What is his name? Anybody know?
I'm trying to remember what name
is. Asa. Asa means physician. He healed the land. Asa. Remember that. Good King Asa healed the land. He healed the land like he was a doctor. All right? There was a doctor in Judah at that time, and that was Asa. Okay? The son of Baasha, all right, and the Asa, king of Judah, and Elah. Elah means oak, by the way, like oak tree. Son of Baasha became king over Israel in Tirzah and reigned 2 years. And then his servant Zimri, commander of half of his chariots, conspired against him. Now remember what was going to happen here. He's going to be destroyed because he's a bad boy. Now he was at Tirzah drinking himself drunk. Not only that, he's a drunkard. Okay? And the house of Arza, who was over the household of Tirzah. And Zimri went in and struck him and put him to death. And in the 26th year of Asa, king of Judah, became king in his place. They came about when he became king, as he sat on the throne, he killed all the household of Baasha. Remember what Jehu said? All right. Now we're quickly going through this. And did not leave a single male, neither are of his relatives nor of his friends. He got rid of all of them. He cleaned house. That's what God said was going to happen. Thus Zimri destroyed all the household of Baasha according to the word of what? The Lord. All right? Which was spoken against Baasha through Jehu the prophet. Now all the sins of Baasha and the sins of Elah his son, which they sinned, which they made Israel sin, provoking the Lord God of Israel to anger with their what? Huh?
Graven images.
All right. They're vanities. They're, you know, an idol is vanity. You know one thing about it. Now, how many of you were former Catholics? How many were former Catholics here? All right. You know what? When you came to the Word of God and you really realized, you realized you were worshiping idols, didn't you? You had a very physical religion. A physical religion. All right. There is physical things in religion, of course. Religion is a perfect balance between man, intellect, and emotion and physical. It's triune, true religion is, okay? But that is a physical religion only, physical. Something you can see, touch, kiss, bow down to, whatever. All right. Now the rest of the acts of Elah and all that he did are not written in the book of Chronicles of Kings of Israel. All right. Now in the 26th year of King of Asa of Judah, Zimri reigned 7 days in Tirzah. Now the people that were camped against Geberthon and belonged to the Philistines. Then on down to 17. Then Omri. Omri means celebrated, by the way. Omri means celebrated. Omri and all of Israel with him went up to Gibbethon, and they besieged Tirzah. And it came about when Zimri saw the city was taken that he went into the citadel. Now, this is old Zimri now. Okay? This one rascal after another, okay? Went into the citadel of the king's house and burned the king's house down on his own head. He burned himself alive. Boy, that's a bad death, burning is. But he burned himself alive. And, of course, burned himself alive till he was dead. All right. Because of his sins which he sinned, doing evil in the sight of the Lord, walking the way of Jeroboam, and his sin which he did, making Israel sin. And then it says all the acts of Zimri and his conspiracy and all that are in the Chronicles. Now let's go on down to verse number 23 in the 16th chapter of 1 Kings. In the 31st year of Asa, king of Judah, Omri became king over Israel and reigned 12 years, and he reigned 6 years at Tirzah, and he bought the hill Samaria from Shamar, all right, and actually from Shamar for 2 talents of silver, and he built on the hill and named the city which he built Samaria. or Shomeron, as it is in Hebrew, Shomeron.
I've lost again. What's
21st, verse 24, 16th chapter, 1 Kings. Okay? 24? Samaria. This is where Samaria was built. And by the way, you know what that means? Mm-hmm. Watchtower.
Samarian?
Watchtower. Watchtower.
Samaria.
Okay?
Samaria.
And after the name of Shemer, the owner of the hill, an army did evil in the sight of the Lord and acted more wickedly than all who were before him. Bad, bad. Nobody learns a lesson, did they? You know why we have the Old Testament? For examples. So we can say, don't do this. Don't do this. For he walked in the way of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and in his sins which he made Israel to sin, provoking the Lord God of Israel with their, again, idols, vanities, emptiness. They're empty gods. They're helpless gods. I've seen over the years, I've seen the Catholics go down the road and they have statues of Christopher on the dash, and they'll be kissing. If they're kissing that statue or kissing the cross, I'm going to tell you something. They're in trouble. They're either about to meet their maker or something or other, or else trying to go get married or they need a good luck charm because of the physical religion, see. But it's vanity. That has no power except demonic power. What draws them to these stations of the cross and stuff? Demon powers. It's a drawing. And they won't turn loose of it very easily, will they? And even when you're saved as a Catholic, sometimes your family will absolutely have nothing to do with it.
You think that's more of an idol or a lucky charm to have the cross around your neck?
Yeah, that's right.
Than it is saying I'm representing Christ.
Well, most of them, especially with Jesus on the cross, the crucifix. It is an idol. As simple as that. Crucifix is an idol.
They shouldn't even have that then, right?
Well, what do you think the Lord thinks of it? Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, okay, idols. Okay. It would be all right to have a cross or something like that, an empty cross. That would say that I'm a Christian, you know. But the crucifixes themselves, this is perpetually dying Jesus. You know, in the Mass, he's perpetually dying. Jesus died once. Once for all, hypox, it says in Greek.
Like you mean when he's actually on the cross, right? Like
yes, that's a crucifix.
Like in Mercy Hospital when you see him on the
cross? Yes, that's a crucifix. That's a crucifix. Okay. Now the rest of the acts of Omri which he did and his might and which he showed, are they not written in the book of Chronicles, the kings of Israel? And Omri slept with his fathers and was buried in Samaria. By the way, when it says they sleep with their fathers, this is what the soul sleepers say. See there, everybody when they die, they go to sleep. What part of you goes to sleep when you die?
Your soul?
No. Not your soul.
Your spirit?
No.
Your body.
What?
Your body.
Body. Your body looks like it's sleeping. It does. It looks like it's sleeping, but your spirit doesn't sleep. That's God, if you're saved. All right. And your soul doesn't sleep. That goes to be with God. All right. Now we come to number 28. Anna, are you there at number 28?
When Omri died, he was buried in Samaria. Then his son Ahab became the next king.
All right. Ahab. Now, what does Ahab? Remember what Ahab means?
I know he's a loser. The dogs eat him up.
You remember what his name means? Ahab. 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 All right. It's got father in it, doesn't it?
Yeah,
Ahab. All right. It's got father in it. It means brother of the father, which means what? Uncle. His name means uncle. Uncle. How do you say uncle in Spanish, Sister Trinity?
Tio.
Tio.
T-I-O.
T-I-O. All right, Tio. Tia is his aunt. All right, so here is uncle. Tio. All right. Now Ahab, Sister Andino, right there, number 29.
29?
Uh-huh.
In the 38th year of Ahab, king of Judah, Ahab is son of Omri became king over Israel. And Ahab, the son of Omri, reigned over Israel in Samaria 22 years.
All right, number 30 now, Brother Brett. You got to borrow somebody's Bible?
I'm doing Dave's book here.
someone in my courtyard. Now Ahab the son of Omri is evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him.
All right. This is a bad guy. This is the baddest of the baddest, isn't it? This guy is terrible. Hello, Dr. John. We're on 1 Kings, the 16th chapter. We just discovered Ahab. And what does Ahab's name mean?
Uncle.
Old uncle. All right. Uncle. Uncle Ahab. All right.
Uncle Ahab, Abraham.
Yeah. Number 31 now. Marilyn, are you you got a Bible open there anywhere? Mary Lynn?
I have one.
No. David. All right. You have one until Brent grabbed it, didn't he?
No, I did his work.
He's doing a lot of his work, but...
Oh, okay.
And it came about as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went to serve Baal and worship him.
Oh, boy. Now he married Jezebel. Do you know any girl named Jezebel?
I do. I didn't worry about it.
You really knew a girl named Jezebel?
I really did. And I couldn't believe it. I don't have to prepare parents named you that.
They must have been unbelievers.
They were unbelievers.
Yeah, that's it. Only an unbeliever would name their child Jezebel. Wasn't that terrible?
My mother-in-law should have been named Jezebel.
Now it came about. Now it's a good thing that Joanne is not here today, Bill. You better not take this tape to her. You better not let her hear this tape.
I'm crazy, but I'm not stupid.
Now he told me he's growing this beard to make his wife mad. That's suicide, you know, making a wife mad. And then saying something like that, boy, I'll tell you what, you're a brave soul.
Kissing you with that
arm. All right. It came about as though it had been a trivial thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam. And he married Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Sidonians, and went to serve Baal and worshiped him. He's going to go right over there and worship Baal. Now, they were worshiping all kinds of stuff. Now, he's not only going to worship Baal, but now over there in the other side where Asa is, Asa put away his lesbian grandmother and all of her cult, lesbian cult and all the male cults and all this stuff. Well, they were a bunch of homosexuals. Queers, you know. Well, they were. That's false religion. That's the way it is. All right. So he erected an altar for Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. Samaria means watch. Okay. And it's on a hill. All right, so this is like a watchtower up there high, so everybody can see where Baal is all the time. Verse number 33, David. David the Ash.
And Ahab made it grow, and Ahab did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him.
Now he made a grove, an Ashereth. You know what this is? This is one of these female lesbian houses again. Here we got a lesbian brothel.
A lesbian brothel.
That's right. That's what it is. Oh, this is just like, now Asa got rid of this.
That's only half profitable.
Well, this is the truth now. I mean, I'm just telling it the way it is. That's the way it is, okay? Verse number 34, Anna. Now, what happened here? What's going on with Jericho? Who destroyed Jericho? You remember when they destroyed Jericho?
Yeah.
Who destroyed Jericho? I've been there.
That's when they marched around.
They marched around it and blew their trumpets and shouted, and the God Jehovah knocked the walls down. I mean, they fell in the ground. They went down in the ground, zoop, just like that. They didn't fall down. They absolutely disappeared. The top of the wall was on ground level. They swallowed it up. Okay? So now, this guy's going to build Jericho back. All right, let's go on now.
This all happened according to the message from the Lord concerning Jericho spoken by Joshua, son of Nun.
All right, see, Joshua prophesied that. Now, Dr. John. number 17 and verse number 1.
And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead from said to Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word.
All right, now here we have Elijah the Tishbite. Okay? We got Elijah. All right? Now Elijah already is known before this time. He's already been prophesying and everything else. We haven't heard about him in the Bible yet, but he's actually been doing a lot of stuff. Okay? What? Jehovah is God. Jehovah is God. Jehovah is God. Elijah is a prophet of action, of deeds, works. He's a prophet of great action. Now, do we ever see him in the New Testament times? Do we see Elijah? Now, he's such an important... No.
The one with the end of two people come, Enoch and Elijah.
No.
No?
No.
They don't come?
That's what some people say. Enoch and Elijah were raptured. Do you think God's going to rapture somebody and then send them back to die? No, I don't think so. A lot of people think they're the two prophets, witnesses in the book of Revelation. I do not think so. If he didn't rapture them and give us an example, two examples of a rapture to send them back and let them die, that would be do away with the type of rapture that they're depicting, okay?
Yeah,
I know that. But, you know, when we studied the book of Revelation, what, I give you 10 or 12 examples of people that could be the two prophets, including, we don't know who they are. Now, something we just don't know. As simple as that. It could be John. It could be Daniel. It could be Elijah. It could be Noah. It could be all of these different people. Okay? But I personally, and it doesn't mean anything, this is all my own opinion, I think it might be two prophets that are raised up right then. Two witnesses that live right then. To me, the logical thing would be those are the two witnesses. Now, who saw Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration? Who were the two prophets there? Who were those two extremely important prophets?
Moses and Elijah.
Moses and Elijah. Moses represented the whole Old Testament law age, didn't he? Huh? And what did Elijah represent? The prophet that was going to be there in spirit when Jesus come on the scene. All right? So this is Elijah was testifying, this is Jesus. This is Jesus. Are any of you cold? All right. Now, some things, you know, this is very foundational thing. Are some of you cold? We might turn that air conditioner, just slide it to the right just a little bit above, just about 70. I think it might be below 70. The one on the right-hand side. All right, now let's say this again. Two prophets, Old Testament prophets, appeared to Jesus and Peter up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Moses and Elijah. Moses represented all of the prophets. Moses was a great prophet. He represented the law. And Elijah, what did Elijah represent there? That every time they have the Passover and they have the supper, what we call the Lord's Supper today, okay, it was the Passover. During the Lord's Supper, during the Passover, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper with his little church, okay? But who did they call for and open the door and call for? Elijah. Because Elijah, there is going to be a prophet Elijah that's going to come and usher in the kingdom of Jesus, the Messiah King. So we there at the Mount of Transfiguration, we have Moses representing the written law, and we have Elijah representing the coming of the King of Israel, Messiah King. Okay, that's the reason why he's there. Okay? And here we have him in the Old Testament. All right? He's a very powerful guy. He does very powerful deeds. Dr. John.
Number 2. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan.
Okay, now the brook Cherith means trench.
Means what?
Trench.
Trench.
Trench. All right? It's like a canal or a trench. Okay? All right. Number four, Sister Andino.
And it will be that you shall flee from the brook and have commanded ravens to feed thee there.
Okay. Now, what is a raven?
It's like a crow.
It's like a crow. Okay? Now, I'm going to ask you this. According to the law of Moses, is a raven or a crow, are they clean creatures or unclean?
Unclean.
They are unclean creatures. Okay? Not supposed to eat crows or ravens. Okay? Not supposed to eat them. Now, listen to this. Okay. He's always thinking about blowing something up or shooting it. You didn't notice that?
That's the way he needs to sit down and have a long talk with himself.
Brother Brett.
Yeah.
Have you ever known anybody that ate a crow?
I don't think I have.
That's right. Have you ever heard of the term eating crow?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's not good.
That means something, doesn't it?
That's not good.
Huh? What does it mean? That crows must not take... Now, hold on, Marilyn. I know. Just hold on. Hold on. Hold on now. The average person does not eat crow. Eating crow is a disgrace. But out there, when the farmers came to the San Joaquin Valley, there were an abundance of crows here. And besides, crows would eat up your crops and everything else. They'll eat anything. You know, they come out there and they eat the pecans off the pecan tree and everything else. What would the Italians, the Italianos, do with the crows out there?
They made salami.
Made salami. They got to do something to them to make them taste better. Crows. You know what? I had a bunch of crows out there one time. We had a lot of crows. And I got out there with my long distance with my full choke duck gun. And I blasted a couple of those crows. And I had a bunch of cats around there. And you know that those cats, when I grab a rifle and walk out the door, I mean the cats come following me like bird dogs. You know, but I'm going to tell you what, they wouldn't eat a bite of those crows. Now, I got them scared out of the pecan trees. They were eating up all the pecans and stuff. And when I walked out the door, they'd take off, boy, zip. But those cats wouldn't eat a bite of crow. But them Italians out there supposedly would make salami and sausage out of those crows. That was years ago. Well, I don't know. You'd have to go out there and ask one of them, brother. A lot of spices, I'm sure, make it taste better. Now, when I was a little old starving kid, you know, you don't know how poor somebody is until you live like I lived. I mean, I lived poor. We lived in a shack. They didn't even have a door on the shack. We just had a tarp for a door. You pulled the tarp up, walked into it. With a dirt floor and no running water, no electricity, nothing. But I was always out there. I'd grab my grandpa's .22, and sometime I guess I was shooting that .22 before I was 2 years old. And I could shoot. Boy, I mean always. How many of you ever seen me shoot a wasp?
I've seen you shoot a clay pigeon.
Yeah.
I've seen you shoot a wasp. That's right. I've
seen you shoot a wasp. Yeah, you've seen me shoot wasps. You tell people to shoot wasps with a BB. I shoot wasps with a BB gun. But it worked, you know, it does. But I'd go out there and I'd shoot blackbirds. We had a lot of blackbirds. And I'd shoot blackbirds, and if I ever shot anything, I'd go out there and shoot frogs in the canal, and I'd catch crawdads, and we'd have a food to eat. We'd eat it. Well, I had a little old barbecue pit that I'd made out of an old forge, and I got some wood and stuck in that thing, and I got them blackbirds out there. You know, blackbirds don't taste very good either.
I want to correct that.
Yeah.
The Italians use blackbirds to make ravioli.
Yeah. Oh. All right. All right. They can keep their raviolis and their blackbirds. All right, now we got a little bit of that levity here.
Oh, yeah.
And what did the ravens do, Sister Andino, in verse number 6? Yeah. 17 and verse 6.
The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook.
All right. Now, just think about this. Now, here's an unclean animal. God's using an unclean animal to feed a prophet of God. You know what that teaches us today? That he could use us unclean people to do his will. He can use us that are unclean to do his will.
You look at it, we're scavengers, like just like the crows.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we're omnivores, you know. There, what among animals, man is an omnivore, isn't he? What does omni mean?
Well,
all
we're both. We're omni and herbivore.
Wait a minute.
Eat everything.
Omnivore eats anything.
Oh, okay. I thought that was one. A herbivore's one of these plants. Okay.
That's right. Herbivore, omnivore eats everything. Now, name some omnivores among animals.
You wouldn't eat anything
else
when we
buzzard.
Well, wait, no, let's come back here now. Wait a minute.
A pig.
Name what?
A pig.
The pig is an omnivore. Okay. Now omnivore, now in the Bible, you're not supposed to eat pigs and bears. Why? Because they're omnivores and they eat things that have trichinosis in it. A little trichne are little worms in the meat. And they used to say, if you cook pork, make sure you cook it well done to kill the trichinosis. Because if you get trichinosis, those things go in you. And then you're in your muscles, and you're hurting all over, all of these aches and pains from these trichne. And trichne comes from a Greek word which means hair. They're hair-like worms. All right. Now, the bear and pigs are omnivores. They eat vegetables, they eat meat, they eat each other, whatever. Okay, they're omnivores. And man is an omnivore also. We eat vegetables and we eat meat. We eat anything. Berries, each other. If you don't believe me, just go back there and read the story about the pass up here. What was the name of that?
Dollar Pass.
Okay. And if study the Old Testament. The Old Testament says Israel, when they were under siege, the mothers ate their babies. Okay. All right. All right, so God used the ravens. Number seven now, Brother David, over here. Number seven.
And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zion, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain me.
Okay, now hold on now. Zarephath, now that means to melt with heat. Probably it was a place where bakeries were.
Zarephath.
That's a place where they had bakeries. Okay? And ovens. Okay? Belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. To see to you is what it literally says. The same word, jireh, to see to you. All right? And verse number 10 there, Bill.
And so he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, indeed, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, Please bring me a little water in a cup that I may drink.
Okay, now here he's testing the Lord. All right, to see if this is the woman. Okay, this is a widow now. And he's testing the Lord to see what this woman's going to say. And Anna, number 11.
As she was going to get it, he called to her, Bring me a bite of bread, too.
All right, now this is a different story, Brother David. Ratcher, number 12.
But she said, As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die.
All right. Now she expects to starve to death. She expects to starve to death. Brother Bill.
You know what I like about this verse is God didn't send him to somebody with abundance.
No.
To take care of him, you know, which would have been easy, and then he wouldn't have been.
Remember, there's famine in the land.
Yeah,
there's starvation. That there's nothing in the land. The people are starving to death because of Ahab and his ungodly deeds.
And God sent him somebody with nothing.
Yeah, he sent him somebody that was down to her last nickel.
Yep.
Remember, there was a woman in the Bible that only had two mites, and that's all she had. That's all she had to eat on or anything, and she went and took the two mites and put them in the treasury for the temple maintenance. And that woman is talked about to this day.
Lady had
this lady had enough to have one last meal and die.
But by faith.
But let's look and see what happens here now. All right, number 13 now, Dr. John.
So she said, as the Lord your God lives, I do not have bread, only a handful of flour in a bin, and a little oil in a jar. And see, I am gathering a couple of sticks that I may go in and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go and do as you have said, but make a small cake from it first and bring it to me, and afterward make some for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bin of flour shall not be used up, nor shall the jar of oil run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth.
All right. It wasn't going to be overflowing. The bowl and the bin was not going to overflow, but it wasn't going to go dry.
There was plenty.
Uh-huh.
I love this story.
This is a beautiful story. It was not overflowing. The bin didn't get full and was overflowing on the ground. The little jug of oil didn't fill up. But they couldn't run it out. Because every time she gave, the Lord gave back. All right? Until it will not go empty until the day the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. Number 15 now, Anna.
So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her son continued to eat for many days.
All right. Continued to eat for many days. They kept on eating. Brother Brett.
Yes.
Or are you?
Yeah, I'm there.
You've got? Okay.
What number?
Number 16.
Okay. The bowl of the flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil be empty. According to the word of the Lord, which he spoke to Elijah.
All right, number 17.
Now it came about after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, became sick, and the sickness was so severe that there was no breath left in him.
That's, what does that mean? Dr. John, when somebody doesn't have any breath left in him, what's that mean?
He died.
He died. He breathed out. That's what it means. He breathed out.
He
breathed his last. Yeah, his blood pressure was zero, his pulse was zero, everything was zero. He's dead. Now let's see what happens here. Number 18, Dr. John, we got a doctor in the house here. We're going to have him read for us.
So she said to Elijah, what have I to do with you, O man of God? Have you come to me to bring my sin to remembrance and by killing my son? And he said to her, give me your son. So he took him out of her arms and carried him to the upper room where he was staying and laid him on his own bed.
Okay, now hold on right here. Now let's think about this for just a minute. Now this woman, she had faith, all right, but now she is faithless. She has less faith. And she thinks now that this man has come to her house to haunt her because of her former sins. And now she said, this was you were a blessing to me, but you were a curse. God is punishing me now, and he's showing me my sins by taking my child's life. Go ahead, Dr. John.
Then he cried out to the Lord and said, O Lord God, have you also brought tragedy on this widow with whom I lodged by killing her son? And he stretched himself out on the child three times and cried to the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee this child's soul come back to him.
Okay, Brother Bill, have you got your sacred name Bible in your pocket?
Oh, I didn't bring it.
All right. Oh, Lord God, oh, Jehovah my Elohim, all right, my Elohi, I pray, let this child's life return to him. And how many times did he stretch himself out over the child?
Three times.
What do you think that's talking about?
God,
he's going to unite his soul, his body, and his spirit again. Because we're triune. That's right. Everything's triune. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We're triune. Remember we looked at the triunity of things here a while back. The triunity of things. And then verse number 22. That's Sister Andino there, number 22.
Then the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came back to him, and he revived.
All right, the soul of the child came back to him. Remember when we talked about soul sleeping a little earlier? That the soul doesn't go to sleep. The body goes to sleep. The soul goes to be with God, and spirit goes back to be with God. Okay? Here, we had a little experiment in the room here. Remember here 2 or 3 weeks ago, we talked about that. We got a moment to just do that again for a moment. To experiment. Now, I think just about everybody in this room is saved, aren't you? All right. Now, we can look at each other and we can see we have a physical body. And as we talk to each other, we know that we have a mental ability. And that, where is your mental memory and everything? What is that called? That's your soul. That's your soul. Okay, now, all of you that are saved, the Spirit of God comes in you. Is that not right?
Yes.
The Spirit of God comes into you. So now we have, as you said here today, you are triune. Are you not? Okay, triune. Okay. Now, we know we have physical body. You can rub your hands together. See the heat there? That's friction. That is, you know that you have physical being. As you listen to me with your ears, your mind is working. Now, and I said here a while back, God is in you. He's there. Now just bathe in His power and presence. Because that down payment of the Spirit that is in you is the Spirit that created the heavens and the earth. And that is the Spirit that is going to resurrect you. And as you sit there and... Now this is what you can call it worship. If you just kind of close your eyes and just marvel in the presence of the Spirit God in you. Think about it.
The
Spirit God in you.
If the devil hadn't backslid, we wouldn't have the Spirit of God in us.
Yeah.
He created us a better being than the angels.
Yeah. Better.
Better being, so we have that in us.
Well, when we're born into this world... When we're born into this world, we are born with a spirit of rebellion in us, aren't we? When we're born again, we have Spirit God in us and come into our lives. And that Spirit God is always in us. It's going to be with us until this body is laid down. When we lay this body down, it's going to like go to sleep. And our spirit and soul goes to be with God. Now, we have a certain kind of form there. I don't understand it. But we see that the people that are in heaven, in Abraham's bosom, they can know and see each other, don't they? They don't have bodies yet. But they can feel the people in hell, in Luke the 16th chapter. They're not resurrected people in hell, but they are suffering thirst and pain and memory and all of this. All right? We don't understand everything about that. Okay. Do you have any questions where we are so far? All right.
Jim, I got about 10 million of them, but they ain't going to be answered until I see God.
I tell you what, there are so many things about the Bible that we don't know. There's a lot of things we can learn about the Bible. I'm not discounting that at all. You know, I went to seminary for a long, long time. My teachers said this. They kept saying this to me over and over again. They say, when you go through this school and you graduate with a doctor of theology or doctor of Bible languages, when you get those degrees, all you have done is got a license to learn. That's all. And I'm going to tell you the absolute truth. I learned a lot in the seminary, but I have learned a whole lot more since. If I had quit right then and never opened the Bible again, I would have been very poor. But we need to study daily. Brett calls me on the phone quite a little bit. Brett, what am I usually doing when you're calling me?
Well, they're dating or doing something like
that. Well, I'm plumbing, but most of the time, what am I doing?
You're studying.
I'm studying. I used to talk to Brother Hubbard. You remember Brother Hubbard? Travis Hubbard. I talked to Brother Hubbard, and he said, I got to go study. And I looked at him. I said, this is a seminary teacher. This man's been teaching the seminary for 40 years at that time. He's taught 60-something years in seminary. And he's got to go study? What in the world is he going to learn next? That he hadn't already learned. But see, I was young then. Now I understand. I learn all the time. And not only that, but I try to remember. It doesn't. I try to remember. Thank you, Brother John, for being here. I got to tell on him. Well, he's gone now. Dr. John just went on vacation. You know, he wasn't here for a while. He went to Hawaii on vacation. And he would get up early every morning and listen to his Sunday school class on the internet so he wouldn't miss it. He'd get up extra early and listen to his Sunday school class. Now, he didn't tell me that. Somebody told on him. He's an avid fan of our class. Let's go on a little bit further. We got a few more minutes. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the life of the child returned to him, and he revived. The soul of the child returned to him. And Elijah took the child and brought him down from the upper room of the house and gave him to his mother. And Elijah said, see, your son is alive. See, your son is alive. And the woman said to Elijah, now I know that you are a man of God and that the word of the Lord is in your mouth. Now, it took all of that. We talk about the woman being having a lot of faith and all this kind of stuff. But look at here. When did she really have faith? Now, Elijah did tremendous amount of physical miracles, didn't he? Physical, he's a physical man. He was a physical man. He was a man of deeds. He's a man of great, powerful deeds. All right. Now, in chapter number 18, we come to that. Chapter 18. Are you ready to quit?
No.
You're not ready to quit?
No.
We got, according to the time, we've got about 8 more minutes left. If you want me to teach her, I can turn you loose a little bit early. Okay?
We've got 8 days. Can we take up again here next week?
Well, we can take up here next week. All right. And it talks, now it came about after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the 3rd year, saying, go show yourself to Ahab. Boy, this is a dangerous thing to do. That's where I'll leave you. Go show yourself to Ahab.
You know Ahab is PO'd.
Well, Ahab is a he's after this man. He's the one that brought drought on the land. Well, it's just what it said. Yeah. All I was saying is what it said there. You know, queers can be saved too. But they don't be queers anymore.
Queers are people, too.
Now, they're real human beings. They are human beings. They're just perverted. Acts. Just read Romans, the 1st chapter, where we're going here pretty soon.
That's that one guy in front of the courtroom. You never believed that he had a sign up that said, not all police officers are queers. I was like, the next day he had a sign that said, not all judges were queers.
Yeah.
I don't know what he was trying to say, but those are.
Maybe this one was.
Now, this guy was named Paul Bell. You ever heard of Paul Bell?
Yeah.
The tax guy?
He had a website up.
He's pretty close to the same.
He's dead, man. But that guy's smart.
Okay, Brother David, are you ready? Do you have any questions before I turn you loose? Go out and do something eternal. Go out and do something eternal.
I mean, he did go to prison for a long time.
Okay. Thank you for your endurance of those hard seats today and the cold air and whatever else is in here. God bless you.
Pray for me that I can keep on doing this.
Keep on.
This has been a test.